This is the operator. I do need to remind everyone that the call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, thank you. I guess the first thing would be a roll call. Lynn, can you do that, please?
I'll do that decision. Philip Shepard?
Yes.
Uta Decker? Christina Rosette?
Present.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris? Greg Ruth?
Here.
Robin Gross?
Yes, I'm here.
Norbert Klein?
I'm here.
Carlos Souza?
Here.
Tim Ruiz?
Here.
Chuck Gomes?
Here.
Edmund Chan?
Here.
John Bing?
Present.
And Avery Doria?
Yeah, here.
Have I... And then I've got, sorry, and then I've got Alan Greenberg from the ALAC.
Here.
From staff, Denise Michel, Liz Gaster, Colin Lentz, and myself. Have I left anybody? Yes?
Yes, Glenn, it's Adrian Kindersley. Good morning.
Good morning, Adrian. Thank you.
And how could you leave me off?
To call as well.
And we've got Sue Jonkless and Tom Keller have just joined as well.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. We've got, and welcome to the new counselors. I've already welcomed them once in person, but wanted to welcome them to this meeting as it is the first meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next thing I wanted to do is go through the agenda, and then I'll ask about updated statements of interest. So the first thing after going through the agenda is updating statements of interest. And we have a then drafty and so minutes vote on approving those minutes from 11 October. Item 3 is to discuss the IGO dispute resolution process. We have a PDP vote pending, but also Christina has sent in a motion to be discussed. Next item is the PDP vote for the inter-register transfer policy based on the issues report on the transfer denial clarification issues report, and we need to vote on a PDP for that and contingently vote on forming either a task force or not a task force. The next item is the discussion of the board motion on the interim solution working group on IDN CCTLDs. Really on this, we've got two discussions. One, we have to talk about the board resolution from Los Angeles forming the interim working group. And then also we have to talk about our own responses that we have a draft of for the GAC issues paper. The item after that is the draft report on the Board Governance Committee on GNSO improvements. We had an open item of whether we as a council wanted to submit a statement from the council in addition to all the statements that constituencies and individuals may or may not submit. The next item we had was to discuss establishment of a general GNSO discussion list, similar ones that exist for other organizations, and as a second issue within that, a discussion that Greg has brought up on whether we could have a specific IDN discussion list. The next item after that is the letter on the behalf of Hagen Host on the job description for NOMCOM 2008, and I sent a draft of an updated letter last night, which Chuck has commented on. Then we have an updated pending work item review, and then under any other business, we have Glenn will talk briefly about the plans for elections. There's a next meeting. And any other business I need to add to that or any changes, comments on the agenda as read? Okay, no. I'll get started. It's a very busy agenda. Let's see if we make it through all of it. I hope so. Okay, the next item is to update any statements of interest. We've had updates now from all four of our new members, from Carlos, Jordi, Olga, and Kim, and they've been sent to the list. I don't know that we need to go over those out loud in person. I don't know if anyone has any questions on those. And does anyone else want to update theirs at this time? Okay, then we'll go with statements of interest as recorded. The next thing is the GNSO Council meetings of 11 October 2007. The URL was in the mail that Glenn sent. Is there a motion for accepting these minutes? There is no motion for accepting these minutes?
Aria, a procedural question, if I could,
certainly,
please. Is there... sometimes people would rather the chair or the vice chair not make motions or second motions. Is that an issue of concern for the council, or is it okay? I don't have any problem making a motion here, but I'd like to make sure that everybody's okay with the vice chair doing that. Any problems with that?
Nope.
Okay. If there is, ever let me know. I certainly would make a motion to approve those.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Does anybody second that motion?
This is Christina. I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Christina. Are there any discussions about those minutes? Okay, if there are not any discussions about those minutes, I'll ask for a voice vote on it. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to those minutes, please say nay. Anyone abstaining from these minutes? Okay, thank you. The minutes have passed unanimously. Now, the next item we have is the IGO dispute resolution process. We received a issues report, which recommended a particular DRP. We did have a vote on creating a working group to revise that at the October meeting, and that vote did not succeed. We then had a vote authorizing sort of an ad hoc process to go on. However, with all that we did in LA, we're still left with a requirement to either vote on, well, basically, we're left with a bylaws requirement to vote on approving or not a PDP on the process. Now, we can delay that for, you know, some reasons, and Christina has put in a motion for delay. We have, as common practice, accepted that if we are going to delay doing one of these votes, that we do it intentionally by actually voting for a delay. So, Christina, would you like to talk about your motion?
Certainly. After the motion I presented in LA was defeated, the IPC went back to the drawing board, the thinking being really twofold and our motivations being that, first, it seemed clear to us that the proposed dispute resolution procedure was objectionable to, frankly, pretty much everyone. And second, that it seemed that there were, I guess probably 3 points now I think about it. Second, that there were changes that could be made to it that at least to the IPC were readily apparent, that we thought would eliminate many of the objections and perhaps put us in a place where it would be easier to decide whether to go forward with a PDP in the sense that there wouldn't be, hopefully, as much work required. And third, the thinking was that given how busy the council schedule is, that it seemed more efficient and more effective to us that if we knew that there were changes that even we as a constituency would want to see, that perhaps by making those changes, we wouldn't necessarily eliminate all objections to going forward, but would certainly come up with a proposed dispute resolution procedure that would generally be more acceptable and in turn create less work for the group. So the IPC is really taking it upon itself to draft that. There's a first draft that's circulating right now. through the constituency and will be discussed and approved as modified at our constituency meeting next Wednesday. So in the meantime, given that that is ongoing and given that we still have not yet voted on the PDP, it seems appropriate to me to suggest that we postpone further vote until the IPC has had a chance to finalize that revision and distribute it to the council so that each of the constituencies would then have time to go back and consult with its respective members.
Okay, thanks. And you put in a motion that I believe was seconded by Chuck.
That's correct.
And I've got that in the pending GNSO council motions page. I cut and pasted it there, which basically reads, and then I'll open the floor for questions and discussion. Whereas the council has previously requested and received both the 15 June 2007 GNSO issues report and dispute handling for IGO names and abbreviations, and the 28 September 2007 staff report on draft IGO domain name dispute resolution procedures, and whereas the council believes that further work on the draft IGO domain name dispute resolution procedure is appropriate before voting on whether to initiate a policy development process on this issue, and whereas the intellectual property constituency is drafting and expects to distribute no later than 28 November a revised proposed draft dispute resolution procedure, now therefore be it resolved that the council postpones until its...
Sorry about that.
Sorry. Be it resolved that the council postpones until its 20th December meeting the vote on whether to initiate a policy development process. So I'd like to open the floor for discussion. Who would like to be in the queue? Anyone?
Philip,
okay. Anyone else?
Jim,
anyone else? Okay, Philip.
Thanks. I'd just like to speak in favor of the motion from Christina. I think all of us are aware on council that essentially we're addressing this issue because it is politically the right issue to address. It doesn't necessarily serve any particular interest or any constituency. But clearly, I think looking at a text that is going to be acceptable to constituencies is important, and Christina's proposal seems to go very much in that direction. We in the BC had similar problems with the original text as drafted. So I think this call for a delay so that we can then see a reasonable text and move forward with makes eminent sense.
Okay, thank you. Kim?
In this particular, we're at the point with this where it would require, a 30, one-third, is that what?
Yes, it would require a one-third process to initiate the PDP. Then immediately after that, we would hold a vote on whether to form a task force. And then we either would have a task force or we would go to constituencies with the issues report as it currently exists, and all the constituencies would have to send their feedback. We'd go out for open comment, et cetera. But, yeah, it only takes a one-third of the quorum to approve a PDP in this case.
Okay. Yeah, the question that I had was just this. Not being as familiar with the whole history here on the council with this particular issue, whether there was a sense that even if the DRP is reworked by the IPC, is there any sense that there would actually be support either way, enough support for it, and if not, then why would we delay? But I don't know if we have that sense or not.
Okay, I invite people to answer. I'm assuming that certainly from the IPC's perspective, they believe they can come up with something that they would certainly support.
Correct.
And,
yes.
And I mean, obviously, at that point, it would go to the constituencies, and the constituencies could still comment, and there could still be a need for rework. But I can't predict how other constituencies would react to the rework. I don't know if anyone else would like to be in the queue.
This is Robin. Could you put me in the queue, please?
Sir Robin, anyone else?
John Bing.
John, okay. Anyone else? Okay, Robin, please.
Yes, I would personally be hard-pressed to see what a couple of months difference is going to make in terms of getting NCUC to think that this is a good use of our time and energy. So, I mean, I'm ready to vote no on this now, and I haven't even been really shown a case for why this is needed, why this is particular PDP would be a good thing for us to do. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me if we vote now or vote no in 2 months, but I'm hard-pressed to think that there'll be a difference.
Okay, thank you. John?
I think it might be a difference. I think there's several rather unresolved issues in the current proposal, and I'd like to see someone have a go at it and see if there's some alternatives here, and perhaps some more detailed work at least alternative thinking. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, thank you.
Okay. No, I'll brief. I can get back in the queue. This is Tim.
Okay, Tim. Anyone else while I'm building a queue again?
Tony Harris.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
Norbert.
Okay. Oh, sorry, did I miss somebody?
Norbert also, I would like
Norbert
to.
Norbert also, okay. Yes. Sorry. Okay, Tim.
The other question I had is just... maybe I'm just not as familiar as everyone else, but I'm just wondering why we have this proposed process before we decide there's a PDP. And if we have a proposed process that everyone feels is good enough that there is a large enough support to start a PDP, then what's the intent as far as the proposed process goes? We just haven't done something, at least with my experience on different PDPs, this hasn't been a normal process where we come up with a solution first, then we decide whether we're going to do a PDP. Just curious why we're approaching it this way. And I'm sorry if this is old news, but I'm...
No. It's not, and even if it were with new council members, we should make sure that, you know, everyone understands why we're doing what we're doing, so it makes perfect sense. Okay, Tony.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I think looking at this as is being proposed by Christina is in the interest of the council, and it would not be a waste of time.
Okay, thank you. Norbert.
John Bing, just you said that there you see some changes in the meantime, and I would appreciate if you just briefly could say where you see the major changes that would help me to make up my decision.
Okay, John, please.
Yes, thank you. I think it is a rather cumbersome process for the issue at hand, and I'd like to see whether it might be the alternative of that route. It may have to be cumbersome, though it seems a bit too much. It seems to be overregulated in a sense for the issue at hand.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.
Aubrey, I might be able to add a little bit there too.
Okay, Chuck. And were you going to answer some of Tim's?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because then I was going to jump in if no one else did. But
I'm happy to kind of add the IPC twist to that as well after you're done, Chuck. I don't want
to...
Just to be clear, what I'm trying to figure out is what I'm voting on. You know, I don't. So we know we're basing it on, are we voting on this proposed process?
No,
I mean, just what kind of vote does that have, and we vote on the PDP? That's my question.
We would be voting on a delay, and with the understanding that something would happen during that delay, but what we'd be voting on is the delay so that thing can happen. Okay, Chuck.
Sure, and I know that Christina would probably say the same thing, and probably more than I'm saying, but one of the issues of concern is the rights of existing domain holders with regard to IGO names, and the proposed process didn't deal with that at all. And my understanding in a conversation with Christina is that actually the IPC would like to try and deal with that and suggest some procedures for dealing with that. So that's just one example, a specific example, Norbert, where maybe some good could be done by spending a little more time.
Okay, thank you. Christina.
I just to elaborate on that, I mean, one of the omissions in the current procedure that the IPC finds objectionable is that there's currently no requirement that the complaining IGO show that the domain name registrant had a bad faith intent in terms of registering the new domain name and using it. That, to us, is not acceptable. So one of the revisions that we anticipate including is language that would change that. Similarly omitted is language that would effectively allow a domain name registrant who finds themselves facing this type of complaint with an opportunity to defend their registration and use of the domain name because they have either an independent right in you know, whatever the second level is, or, you know, a legitimate interest in using it. And obviously a legitimate interest would encompass a, you know, free expression. You know, so that's another omission that we're trying to rectify. I mean, frankly, our view is that the current version is not something that anyone can support, including us, and that it doesn't make sense to really consider the issue much further until there's a dispute resolution procedure that we think is more likely to be acceptable. It doesn't mean that what we come up with is going to be perfect or that others might not have additional suggestions or revisions that would improve it, but we think that we're hoping at least that what we will come up with will be such a significant baseline improvement that it will make any further work much easier and, frankly, much more quickly accomplished.
Yeah, and Tim, I would add only one thing to that. I think part of the thing that we've gotten to in terms of the process is worrying about if we do a task force on this, that's a very cumbersome process, and it takes, and especially with it as it stands at the moment, that could be difficult. If we don't do a task force, then all we're doing is giving the DRP as it currently exists in the issues report to the constituencies and collecting comments on it, which really doesn't move us forward. So then we're basically left with a decision, do we just decide not to do this PDP? Well, but the PDP does have an important value to some of the other groups within ICANN, so it seems one of the things that we've done as a process sort of, as long as we were intentional about the variations we were making in our processes, was try to do things that would expedite the work and make it a little less cumbersome. But when we did it, to do it intentionally. So I think that's why there's this deviation from straight bylaw, okay, let's vote now on the PDP, but rather let's delay the vote and see if we can't clean up the issue some before the vote.
Okay, thanks, Bobby. That actually answered my question. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to discuss this before I put it to a vote? Are there any objections to doing a voice vote on this? If anyone objects, I'll ask for a roll call. No objections? Okay. All those who approve the motion to delay until 20 December, our vote on the PDP, please say aye.
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 All those against the postponement, please say nay.
Nay.
Okay, thank you. Are there any abstentions?
I abstain. It's Tom Carroll.
Okay, thank you. So it was Norbert abstain.
Norbert also abstained.
Okay, thank you. So I believe the motion passes, and this will be put on the agenda for 20 December with a expectation of receiving before 28 November a revised proposed draft dispute resolution.
Just one minor clarification there, Avi. I think our constituency meeting is
the morning of the 28th Eastern time. So I would expect that frankly, we would have something, you know, late afternoon, early evening.
Oh, okay. When I put it in our list of expectations, I'll make it after
okay.
that.
Perfect. Thank you.
I won't rush it on it. Okay, thanks. Moving on to the next, which is the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy PDP vote. Now, this was, if people remember back, there was the recommendation from the Registrar Working Group that had three parts to it. One was the advisory that we saw went out recently. One was the bucket of issues that the working group was formed to basically do a prioritization of. And one was the specific narrow issue of clarification of the wording of transfer denial reasons. And those were documented, and the issues were documented in the issues report transfer denial clarification. So we're only voting at the moment on a PDP in relation to that particular issues report. Karen, did you want to say anything about that before I open the floor?
Sure. As you just described, the issues report is limited to consideration of a pretty limited set of issues that all occur in relation to when registrars can deny a transfer request. So staff did recommend in the issues report that a PDP would be useful on that to clarify the language that exists now.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll open the floor to discussion on this. Thank you. Anyone want to comment? No comments.
Hi, Aubrey. This is Christina. I would suggest, at least based on my recollection of our working meeting, that we may be ready to vote on this.
Okay. Does anyone else want to comment before taking a vote on this? Okay. As this does require a specific count, I will ask for a roll call vote on it. And Glenn, can you do the roll, please?
Yes, certainly, Avery. I'll start with Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Can somebody say what we're voting on? What's the motion here?
Okay, sorry. The motion is for a PDP on inter-register transfers as defined in the issues report transfer denial clarifications. Basically, the issues report laid out a certain number of terms and conditions that required clarification. And this PDP would be for that.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, let me continue with the vote. Oh, look, Glenn, can you?
Yes. Christina?
Yes.
Cyril Chua?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes.
Norbert Klein?
Yes.
Carlos Souza?
Sorry, I absent this one.
Adrian Kindris?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom Keller?
Yes.
Jordi Iparagir? I think he's on the line. Chuck?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes.
Jordi, are you on the line? John Bing?
Yes.
Avery?
Yes.
And Jordi?
Hi?
Yes. What do you vote, Jordi?
Yes, sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So that passes. We have got one abstention.
Okay, thank you. So that having passed, the next issue is to discuss whether we wish to initiate
a task force on this. And basically the way this works is we vote on whether to create a task force, and the bylaws then define how we proceed if there's a task force, which is a charter is created, there is a meeting that is elected, constituency statements are submitted, there's a task force report, etc. And then a final task force meeting that comes back to the council. If we do not get a majority in favor of a task force, then we do the non-task force, which is each constituency appoints one representative, the constituency statements are collected, the public comment period is done, an initial report is completed by the staff manager, and then it comes back to the council for deliberation. Both task force and non-task force lead to council deliberations. Once it comes back to council deliberations, we can either make a decision based upon the information that's been collected, or we can decide at that point to create an open working group or any other mechanisms that we decide as part of our deliberations. This is basically following practice that we followed. So the task force process is fairly direct. And we did that, for example, with Who Is, had a task force, then came back to deliberations, did a working group. On the other hand, with new GTLDs, we did not have a task force. We collected constituency statements and public comments, then brought it into the committee of the whole method and spun off several working groups. Those are essentially the two models. So at this point, we need to decide whether we want to follow the task force process leading up to council deliberations or the non-task force. Hopefully I've made that not too unclear.
Did I get in the queue, Aubrey?
Yes, Chuck. Who else would like to be in the queue?
Aubrey, this is Christina. I'd like to be too, please.
Okay. I've got Chuck. I've got Christina. Anyone else want to be in the queue at this point?
And Philip, depending on the quality of clarification preceding me.
Okay, Philip. Okay, Chuck, let's go for the clarity of clarification.
Okay, for the same reason that we elected not to do a task force with regard to domain tasting, because the other route gives us more flexibility, and with the same assumption that I made when we did that action in L.A., that being that I really want us to get away from the council doing everything, so to the extent that more work is needed, I think the idea of using working groups, and in fact, in this case, we have one in place that could be added to if we wanted to, I definitely would be against going the task force route.
Thank you, Chuck. Christina?
I was actually hoping that perhaps some of those of you who've been on a council for longer than I have can provide some clarification as to historically when the council has elected to pursue task forces and when it has not, and you know, to the extent that you can identify some kind of common theme among task force versus non-task force, that would be helpful to me, because frankly that's something that I have struggled with in trying to figure out how I want to vote on this.
Okay, thank you. Philip, this is a perfect opportunity for you to clarify.
I was hoping for clarification beforehand. No, I mean, for me, the decision is not between task force and working group, but it's between what we currently have in our bylaws, which says, look, either the work has been done in terms of scoping the issues, and it's pretty straightforward, and the direction in terms of change is clear, in which case the simple option, constituency statements, get on and do it, fast track would seem to work. Or there's a whole bunch of substantive issues which need to be discussed, in which case we need to decide how to do that, and then we've got a choice of task force or working group. And that's how I would characterize it. And it'd be interesting to hear from people being more closer to it, if they feel it's well laid out in issues reports and we can fast track it, or if we need to have a good discussion. If we need to have a good discussion, then fine, I'm happy to go along with Chuck's suggestion of a working group.
Okay, can I
interject one thing before I open up the queue again, which is, by the bylaws, I don't think we actually have a choice of going task force or working group. I think that we need to go through either task force or constituency statements until we get to the council deliberations. It's once we get to the council deliberations that then we have the option of creating working groups. But I don't think the bylaws, and hopefully this will change as one of the byproducts of the governance review, I don't think we actually have the option of saying, well, we vote for a task force, but we're really going to create a working group. Of course, we probably could try to do that, and I'm not sure we'd have problems, but just in terms of looking at the bylaws, I don't see quite that leeway. And so what has been my operating assumption was when we thought that the working group model was the right one, that the best thing to do was to go the non-task force method and fall through. However, if we think that a task force could, in quick time, clarify the issues and come up with suggestions, but at that point we are confining the work to a task force as defined in the bylaws.
Can I get back in the queue, Aubrey?
Can I get in the queue as well for clarification?
Okay, I've got Chuck.
Tom, please.
Yeah, okay, sorry. My mind blanked for a second.
Yeah.
Recognizing voice to name, and I should have it. Okay, Chuck, and then Tom.
First, Aubrey, I think you characterized it accurately. We just have two choices right now. And the reason I favor the non-task force route is I think it's quicker, and it gets us to a point where we can implement a working group if it's needed. More readily. The task force route is much more restrictive in terms of membership by the constituencies and so forth, and so the more open type of work that we've been doing doesn't work as well in the task force route just because of the way it's defined in the bylaws. And in this one last comment, in this particular case, I think the issues are really very straightforward with minimal, if any, controversy.
Mm.
So the quicker route, I definitely believe, is the better way to go.
Thank you. I'm getting more and more confused by the terminology we're using. So task force is something that is described in the bylaws, as far as I know. Working group is something we come up with when we like, if it is an action the council does, or...
Yes.
So to maybe explain it with my own words so I might understand it, is that if you would go down that route that we say, well, the council is taking it on itself, we would have the possibilities to create maybe one or maybe multiple working groups which the councilors don't have to be part of, because a big concern I have and I raised over the last year, I guess, is that I see that always the same people are doing the work. And that's one of the things I would like to move away. I guess that's somewhere in the direction Jack is moving to as well. So what would be the final consequence if we would decide to do it as a council as a whole? Would we then finally create a working group giving out the work to other people from constituencies, or would we actually do it by ourselves? And can we define that now already, or will we have to wait until we pass that vote?
From my understanding, if we do a task force, it's predetermined how we have to proceed. The process that we've been following is that council deliberations are not defined. So therefore, if we go the non-task force route, which would mean that this will be a vote for task force the way it's defined in the bylaws. So if this loses and we go the non-task force route, we collect constituency statements that are both on the substance and can even be on the process to be followed after. We do an open comment period where the community comments on the substance and on the process to be followed. Then it would come to council deliberation, at which point we would decide either, hey, it's decided, we can just vote, or we would decide we need more work, therefore, how do we want to do it? my assumption is that we would go working groups, since that's been the tendency, and that's certainly the content of the board's, you know, upcoming recommendations. But I don't think we would decide that now. At the moment, by bylaws, we decide to do a task force or not.
And if I could add,
Avery, can I jump in the queue with Adrian?
Sure, Adrian. Anyone else want to be in the queue?
One. Depending on what Adrian says, I might want to add something to it.
Yes, Chuck, I've got you in the queue. Okay,
Adrian. Sorry, thanks, Avery. I'm in agreement with what Chuck said earlier. I just wanted to make a point of clarification. From the experience of the domain tasting working group, I just felt a little uncomfortable with the lack of parameters around the working group. And as you well know, we somewhat offended members of our constituency by starting down one road and then needing to change and tighten up and so on and so forth. Or there was some lack of clarity over the formulation of that working group. So I just think going forward, we just need to be careful about, you know, how we determine parameters, and if it is too loose, that potentially the other alternative may be better.
Okay, thanks. I
totally agree with Adrian on that, although I would say the same risks exist if you give a task force a job if they're not well defined. So I think it exists in both cases. The point I wanted to make was, and that I indicated in my first comments on this, is that in this particular case, should we see that a little more work is needed, we have in existence an interim planning group with regard to other issues from the work of on the interregister transfer group, and that might lend itself very readily to doing some work in support of whatever additional work we might need as in a working group. And we could open that up to others. It wouldn't have to be restricted to the people that are on that.
I'd like to comment on that. First of all, I'd be careful doing that because they have a particular charter. In answer to Adrian's comment, I think that that's part of why I was saying that in the comments, if it goes to constituency report, that people would comment, constituencies comment, would comment both on the substance and the process. And I think you're totally right that if in our deliberations we decide we need a working group, we need to put together a charter and we need to define how things work. And we need to stay away from things like my undefined small working group.
Thanks, Avery.
Okay. To go to the exact culprit of the problem. So would anyone else like to comment before we take the vote on whether to form a task force? So a positive vote would be yes for a task force. A negative vote would be the non-task force process. Any more comments before calling that vote? And since this is defined in bylaws as a majority vote, I'd like to ask that to be roll call. If there are no more comments, Gwen, could you call the roll on it?
Certainly. Philip Shepherd?
Okay, just for clarity, I understand if I vote no, I'm voting in favor of what's listed in the bylaws under 8, procedure if no task force is formed.
Okay.
Under that understanding, I'm voting no.
Christina Rosette?
No.
Cyril Chua?
No.
Tony Holmes?
No.
Tony Harris? I think Tony Harris has dropped off the line. Greg Ruth?
No.
Robin Gross?
No.
Norbert Klein?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Norbert. Carlos?
No.
Adrian Kinderis?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Keller?
No.
Jordy?
No. No.
Chuck Gomes?
No.
Edmund Chun?
Nope.
John Bing?
No.
Avery Doria?
No.
And I'm coming back to Tony Harris, who I see is on the line now.
Yes, I'm sorry, I was cut off. No.
So, everybody votes no.
Okay, thank you. So
Avery?
The next step is for everyone to, the, Vanessa, who is the parent? Are you the, what's it called, the project, the staff manager on this one? Who is the staff manager on this particular meeting? The question is to Denise. Who is the staff manager on this PDP?
I'm sorry. I'm bouncing back and forth between the council call and the board call. Which one are you referring to?
On the registrar's transfer
into registrar
application PDP.
I'm sorry. Two people were talking. Which one?
On the transfer denial clarification PDP. Who will be the staff manager on it?
Liz Gaster will.
Okay, Liz Gaster. Okay. In which case, the next step is for each of the constituencies to appoint a representative to solicit the constituency's views on the issue, and they shall submit a constituency statement to the staff manager within 35 calendar days after initiation of the PDP. And that goes on from that. So, okay, so Liz will be getting in touch with everyone, and the constituency should get in touch with Liz about who the representative is. Okay, move on to item 5. That's a two-parter IDN-CCTLD working group discussion. The first part is sort of informative and also, though, trying to sort of get a sense of where the council is on this issue. And then the second part is sort of talking about how we proceed with our response document. In the first part, the board on IDNs passed a resolution that basically accepted a recommendation of the CCNSO, which I guess had been a voted resolution by them, to form an interim working group on, or a working group on interim solutions. Sorry, I got the interim in the wrong place. To an interim approach for IDN CCTLDs. And basically, dissolve the board expresses that, okay, the board respectfully invites the chairs of CCNSO, GNSO, GAC, ALAC, and SAC to set up the IDNC working group and appoint members to this group as soon as possible, and when established, request the IDNSC working group to commence its work in accordance with the charter adopted by the CCNSO Council. The ICANN board directs staff to provide necessary support, etc., and request that the IDN working group provide a status report on its progress at the conclusion of the ICANN meeting in New Delhi. So, from my reading of this, the first part of this is that the chairs and or, you know, and possibly the vice chairs of all those groups would be getting together to talk about how this group is going to operate. There's also the issue of appointing members. Now, if people go to the, which I have sent to the group previously, the Charter IDNC Working Group had proposed a membership that included two members of the GNSO. Basically, the makeup of the group as defined in that charter was members of the GAC, including its chair, members of the CCNSO, including its chair, two members of the GNSO, two members of the ALAC, one representative of the technical community, one member of SAC, two ICANN staff members. And then the IDNC working group would select its own chair. Now that brings us to a point here of, one, trying to understand how the council members view this. I don't know exactly when this sort of formative group is going to meet to talk about the group. Two, at the moment, we are asked to pick two members of this group. They don't need to be council members. In fact,
from everything that's been said in many of our conversations, we certainly have to be open to non-council members on this. We are in a position where we can certainly, if we think we need a stronger representation, make a case for that when we have the formative meeting. If we're fine as a council with two members, then we need to come up with a procedure for picking our members. But in any case, you know, it won't be an unlimited participation, so we need to discuss how we want to pick our representatives in this meeting, I mean, in this working group. And I want to point out that as of this point, four names have sort of come by. Even before we started talking about it, there's at least four individuals that are interested in being the representatives from the GNSO. So we have a decision procedure in front of us. So that's sort of a general outline of the issue. And I guess I'd like to open the floor for discussion. We're not at a point of making a decision on it at this point. It's just that I'd like to understand where the council is at on this, so that when I start participating in a meeting with the chairs of the other groups and possibly the vice chairs of our group and the other groups, I have an idea of what the council wants. So I'd like to take a cue.
Chuck?
Chuck? Anyone else want to be in the queue to start? Okay.
Edmund.
Anyone?
Philip.
Excuse me?
Philip,
okay, thanks.
And Tim.
Tim, anyone else? Okay, we'll start with this list. I'm sure we'll have more lists. Chuck?
Sure. Thanks, Aubrey. I think the question we need to get answered was, is this a CCNSO working group that other advisory groups and SOs are being invited to participate in, or was the intent indeed for it to be a joint working group? I'm getting the impression that it's a CCNSO group that we're being invited to participate in, and I think we ought to get clarity on that. Now, one question, is the group size, and I'm looking at the chart and I don't see it real quickly, is the group size supposed to be 15, or am I mixing something else up there? Looking at the charter, it lists the numbers of members of the GNSO, ALAC, et cetera. It doesn't list the number of members of the GAC or the CCNSO.
Yeah, from conversations I had with Chris, I don't believe it's limiting the number of participants from GAC or CCNSO.
Okay, so
And Denise or someone else that's on this call can certainly clarify any of those issues if I get it.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
I'm sorry. So, do you know about the limiting of the number of members of this working group?
Sure. What I know is that the last information I have from the LA meeting is that they had not placed a specific number limit on the GAC representatives, and I think we're still discussing it in the CCNSO as well.
Okay, thank you.
And further, this is the charter, the proposal and the charter for a group approved by the board and involving the CCNSO, the GAC, the GNSO, the ALAC, and ESAC came out of the CCNSO, and the board agreed and then adopted that resolution and connected, of course, the charter to it.
Re-ask Chuck's question. That means that this is, as far as you're concerned or as far as you interpret, it is a CCNSO working group which we've been invited to send two members.
No, I wouldn't actually. I wouldn't call it that. The intention clearly is to have representatives from all of the SOs and the ACs that I mentioned. So I wouldn't call it a CCNSO working. The board specifically asked that it be created, that it contain representatives from the SOs and ACs that I mentioned. So I wouldn't call it a CCNSO working group.
Okay. Can I ask one more question before I go back to the queue, since I've
or to get you answering questions, or you've already volunteered to ask questions, is do you think that there is a possibility of the GNSO discussing the number of representatives from the GNSO in this group? Is that an open issue?
My understanding, we're going to have to get clarification on that. My understanding was that the board specifically, I know the board specifically reviewed the proposed charter, referred to it in the resolution, and I think there was an expectation that the group would be quickly created with, you know, as it was set forth in the charter. Whether that whole issue can be revisited, I think would be, I think it's certainly worth a conversation with Chris Despain.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for cutting into the queue here. Edmund, you were next.
So I think it's really echoing sort of Chuck's comment as well. How exactly the working group would be, how it would work. Right now as it's chartered, it could be heavily, the membership could be like big and pretty much dominated by CCNSO and GAC, which is somewhat fine. I guess having the numbers of the other areas restricted, I think that is definitely one of the areas that maybe would like to address in as you mentioned, Avery, the formative meeting, and see how that should be addressed. And in terms of the GNSO, I think we should this whole topic is definitely an important aspect that the GNSO should be participating in, and especially because I think this does have in some aspects some correlation or interrelation with the new GTLD process, where especially new IDN GTLDs. So I think we should definitely, we should definitely participate in it, and we should also look into, as you mentioned, at least there are four members that are interested in contributing to it. I think we should definitely address whether it makes sense to have a little bit more representation, given that I'm sure there will be a heavy interest in CCNSO and GAC to be participating in the group.
Okay, thank you. Arthur?
Thank you. I certainly agree with Edwin in terms of the relationship between this group and our recent process on GTLDs. Am I right in saying what I had posted earlier to Council, not that we might have seen that, in that essentially the task before this group and ICANN is whether or not to create some sort of reserve list or allocation for CC-related IDNs or not? And if not, then any such new TLD would fall into the process that we created earlier. Is that correct in understanding, or is that essentially what the group is discussing?
Okay, I'll start, and then perhaps other people can correct me, and then I'll get back to the queue. From my understanding, and this is from the material that I did send out to the group, the CCNSO is envisioning two processes, this interim or fast-track process, and then a full process. In this initial or interim fast-track process, what they are looking for, and while it's not definitive, sort of the first notion that was put on the table is for all those who are ready for a CCTLD, an IDN CCTLD, now, essentially, to basically come up with one for all those people. Now, it's not building a reserved list. The long term, and so that's the immediate solution. So within the next year, anyone that, any country, any CCNSO that's ready now gets to go now.
But they have a choice of one. They select the one they want and they get it.
That's the starting position, whether that remains the case. From that discussion, one could, wonder whether there'll be one for, I thought I heard someone. Whether that remains the case, it will be discussed in this committee. But it isn't the same as
the full solution, which is a much longer currently, and I think it was voted on, CCNSO PDP process, which we haven't had, you know, there's no invitation to join at this point, and I don't know whether there will be one, is their process of their long-term decision about CCTLDs and the full scope of all names, all scripts, and those decisions. That there's
okay.
two separate processes going on.
But I understand that. And does that mean that the critical path to kicking off our new TLD process is stage one of this, the maybe one name per CC, and the second bit comes after that? Is that the understanding?
Well, our process depends on an objection process, which basically my assumption would be that any name that they're considering in either the interim process or the full process would be a name they could raise an objection towards. But neither one of them is creating a reserved list.
So neither process is creating a critical path to starting our process, in your
Correct.
Understanding. Okay.
Correct. The assumption is that they would object and raise an objection to any name that was applied to within the DTLD that was on their list of names for.
Okay, that was in line with our intent. Good.
Right. Now, you know, whether a different decision, recommendation could come out of the board at some point or whatever, I don't know. But as things stand, no, it is not a gating factor.
Could I add something to that, Aubrey?
Sure.
One of the things that we've talked about, and this was in the recommendations from the IDN working group that we had, is that if new GTLDs happen before the CCNSO does anything with regard to IDN TLDs, then it probably would be appropriate to deal with possible conflicts that may exist in the case of whatever IDN names might be ultimately selected by the CCNSO or CCTLD members, however that might happen. So I think this is an area that could result in more work. So that, for example, if the new GTLD process happened, including IDNs, before the CCs finish anything on this, then, for example, a new GTLD could be .china in simplified Chinese, and that obviously could create a problem. I think it's reasonable for us to anticipate possible conflicts like that in a reasonable manner and work with the CCNSO to avoid those beyond just the dispute process that we have in place. But that's my own opinion in that regard, and I think that's consistent with things from the IDN working group.
And that could certainly be an outcome of this interim
yes.
working group. Could bring something back to this council to work on. Tim?
My question is: Is it out of the question to just go back and ask? And I don't know who the four interested parties we have. I can kind of guess to some degree who they might be. And it seems like, you know, we're talking about four fairly qualified individuals who would certainly be advantageous to have involved in this working group. Is it out of the question to go back and say, you know, look, this is an important issue. It has effects on the policy development process that the GNSO has been undertaking in regards to new GTLDs. It doesn't seem unreasonable to ask that we allow all four interested parties to participate in this working group, especially given that, you know, the GAC and the CCNSO membership seems to be unlimited. You know, unless any one of these four could possibly qualify for one of the other categories, but I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
Probably not.
That is certainly, you know, assuming that's something that the council believes should be done, that's certainly something that I'm more than happy to do. And you know,
imagine that it would be accepted, but of course one never knows until one does it. But yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable if, you know, the council is sort of saying that if we've only got four people and those four are all good people, which they are, you know, that is something. And I could certainly, you know, bring in the names, although I'd want to make sure that they were all still fine with doing that. But yeah.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion, that perhaps we take that approach first before we put it off to the, no doubt, very difficult decision about which two of these four really qualified people to try to select.
Anybody else?
Sorry, this is Christina. I just wanted to note that there's someone that we know is interested, that the IBC knows is interested, but may actually be eligible through the CCNSO, which is why we haven't forwarded that name to you yet.
Okay.
Aubrey, another approach we could take, and I think I like what Tim just said. I think a simple approach would be just to put forward however many names we have, if they're willing to participate and well-qualified, whether that's four or five or whatever. Another approach would be to suggest that if, in fact, the intent was that this be a joint working group, that there be opportunity for there to be balanced membership between the two SOs that are involved. In other words, the CCNSO and the GNSO.
Avery?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Olga from Argentina.
Hi, Olga.
I think I mentioned to you before, but if there's a joint working group on IDNs, I would be interested in working in it.
Yours was one of the names I wasn't mentioning.
I just joined in. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. I was basically not mentioning the names of people who had contacted me just because I didn't want to get into a discussion.
Oh, sorry. Just got in the conversation.
But I'm glad you're here at the meeting. Okay, anyone else want to be in the queue to discuss this? Okay, if there's any other, I mean, we can just talk about it more on the list. If, you know, people have other issues that occur to them afterwards that they would like to see discussed, perhaps go back and, you know, reread the charter and the other discussions that were sent up. And if other issues come up that you would like to see sort of represented while we're talking about the formation of this, you know, please say something so that I can include as much as possible of what the council would like to see happen as possible. Okay. If there are no other comments on that one, I'd like to go to the draft GNSO comments. Now, not so much discussing the issues at this one, but I'd like more to discuss how we go about bringing this report or response to closure. In other words, I believe that there may be significant discussion that we still have to have. I apologize again to you, Chuck, for being so late with my comments. But
I thought your comments were very good, by the way.
Yes.
And I, like I suggested in my email today, is that it sounds like it would be smart for us to set up a little subgroup of those who do have contributions to make to see if we can't make some improvements to the draft that would better accommodate those concerns. Like I said, I don't believe that what I saw in your comments differed in terms of intent, in terms of what the working group came up with in drafting these comments. So it seems realistic to me that we could, in a matter of a few weeks, maybe work together, those who are interested, and I'd be glad to help on that, having chaired the other group, and put some final touches on it.
Okay, great. I'd like to take a few on people that would like to discuss the issue at this point. Anyone want to comment? Okay. I mean, I'm certainly, I guess, having you know, opened my mouth, I'd certainly be willing to help with the participate in that process. Does anyone not think it's a good idea for us to put together a group of those who have issues to try and rework the text? Does anyone not think it's a good idea to have Chuck continue leading this? Good. So Chuck, Chuck, I think your offer has been accepted.
So now I need to know who wants to work with us on that.
Right. And I'm certainly, I believe I'm on the hook at this point.
You are.
Yes.
Not just an observer this time.
No, not just an observer this time.
I want to work in the group. My name is Olga.
Okay, thanks, Olga.
And to you, send a representative to, I'll let you know that person in a day or so.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, you know, and anyone that's interested now should get in touch with Chuck, and that, you know, over the next couple of days we can collect, you know, either representatives or petitions. Now, should we open this up? We know that there are people that wherever we talk about IDNs, there is definitely interest in the community in this. Should we open this up beyond the council at this point and beyond the constituencies at this point?
We're at a stage, I think, where that might cause us to unnecessarily go backwards. Let me make this suggestion. We had the working group that was open.
That was open, yes.
And one of the things we could do as we do make changes, it's real easy for me to communicate with the members of that working group in terms of what this subgroup of the council does. And I'm not saying that just this subgroup has to be just councilors, don't get me wrong. And so we could actually, you know, put things that we changes we make back to the working group to see if they have any comments, which is what I did, by the way, on later changes we made as well.
That sounds like an interesting process to me. Any comments?
I will put it here, just a couple of comments, if I may. I think I support Chuck in that. I think it's up to the working group to look at wider outreach, in this case, not us, otherwise it will indeed delay matters. If the BC doesn't currently have somebody there, it's quite possible we will suggest somebody to assist with Chuck on that group. And I think that now that group's been formed, it might help us also in terms of the replies that we're making, because my concern, I think, with our current draft was that in a lot of the big questions, we were saying, well, it's not really up to us, it should be a CC, NSO, GAC decision. And I think perhaps what we should be saying instead is, well, those are big questions. Let's discuss it in this new working group, and we'll participate in that, rather than try to make those answers now or to suggest that we're not going to participate in that discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Now, the names I have so far are Avery, Olga, and Edmund, and someone from the NCUC and possibly from the BC. Correct? Anybody that commented today? Thank you.
And as I say, anybody, you know.
Yeah, it's not restricted. I'm not trying to cut it off. I just wanted to make sure I had.
You had your starter group.
Yes.
Or your starter subgroup. Okay, anything else that someone would like to add to this discussion before we move on to the next item? Okay, thank you. Item 6. Draft report of the BGC on GNSO improvements. We had discussed this in LA and had noted that while many of the issues would be commented on individually by constituencies or by, you know, individual council members, individual constituency members, what have you, that there may be some issues that we would be prepared to comment on in a consensus position. And I think there was an agreement that in this case, if it was going to be a council comment on something, that it really needed to be something that, you know, we could all pretty much agree to. You know, not really sure what there was that was in that bucket, but it seemed that there was agreement that if we found something that was a general consensus view from the council, we could and should perhaps make a comment to the working group. I had thought that a couple people were going to get together and produce some kind of draft statement. Haven't seen one, and I don't know if there's anyone on this call at the moment who has been working on such a common statement or believes that there is such a common statement we can make, so I'd like to open up the floor on this topic. Thank you. Anyone wish to comment? Okay, from the comments.
Average, they put it here.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. I think you're right. I mean, my reading of the current BGC output is not dissimilar to the output we've seen from the LSE and indeed the Patrick Shari review, in that I suspect the majority of recommendations are something we would all support. You know, they're all good stuff in terms of improving process, improving the way we do things, looking at different ways of working. And I suspect there is more common ground than difference. And aside of that, of course, there are specific suggestions in terms of structure or form, etc., which we're going to disagree on. But I think it would be very useful to the board in particular, not the working group, but for the board, to know where the community, as represented by the GNSO, agrees on the big picture changes, because let's hope we can actually see those implemented in the next few months rather than this continuous talking about them.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else wish to comment?
Tim.
Anyone else on building a queue? Okay, Tim, please.
My one concern is just the time frames that are assigned to making some of these changes and doing some of the work in regards to redefining a new PDP, et cetera, and how reasonable those really are for us to get done. I mean, pretty much everything we're talking about is over the next 6 months. I'm not sure how everyone else feels about that, but it seems to me that that's quite a lot of work to try to do in that amount of time. And at the very least, if no other comment is made, that something should be said about, you know, a more realistic time frame to do all of this work.
Well, as I understood my reading of their report, while they recommend time frames, they also recommend that there's really an implementation committee put together at the beginning that really figures out the details of how to do things, and that their time frames were mostly guidelines. But I think you're right. We should definitely say something that the times are exceedingly aggressive. Trying to understand, does anyone at their fingertips know when their current deadline is for 30? It is requested the comments be submitted by 30 November. Now, of course, this is the comment to the forum. Okay, it says basically next steps. The report has been posted for public comment on the ICANN website and was discussed at a public forum during the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. It is requested that comments be submitted by 30th November 2007. The forum discussion and comments will be considered, and a final report will be presented to the full board governance committee and the board. As the community and the board consider the proposals outlined in the report, it is important to keep in mind that this is an evolutionary process intended to reflect the importance of the GNSO for ICANN and to build upon the GNSO successes to date. Now, if I read that correctly, it's saying that this isn't the last chance. That basically, if we want comments to be considered before the final report, we need to get them in by 30 November. However, the community will have a chance to comment before the board considers the report. Doesn't say that explicitly, but that's my reading of it and normal process.
Avery, can you add me to the queue, please, Tony?
Okay, certainly, Tony. Just go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to add some support to try and get something back initially. And I think the comments that were made about the time frame are spot on, really. I suggest we do need to say something about that. I also think we can offer some support for some of the good procedural efforts
to increase outreach, to better communication. Some of those core things that we will subscribe to, I think it's quite possible to do that within this time frame before the 30th. And maybe just an initial set of things that we could put forward would be a good idea, and we can follow up with some of the more difficult things if we want to tackle that later.
Okay, thanks. One question I have is, we can probably agree in principle on the contents of it, but as we don't have a statement before us, my question would be, how do we come up with a statement that no one objects to in the council by the 30th, since we don't have another meeting until the beginning of December?
If I can comment on that, I would suggest it's probably possible to just ask people to submit comments on this to the list. Anything where there's a dispute, we should probably just forget at this stage and not forward on in the first round. But wherever there's agreement, and I think there are some things in here which we've got common views on, then that's enough to go forward. If there's any discussion across it or any concerns, we just drop that one off for now.
Okay. So basically, so if I understand, we could possibly have someone who was acting as editor of this statement, and any comment that someone objected to from the council would be dropped, and we see what we're left with. How do other people feel about that proposal? Anyone object?
No, I think it's a good one, and I think maybe what we could do is, as people put forth ideas, only set them forth as kind of as separate bullet points, so that you don't have to wade through an entire document if you only have an objection or a concern about one particular point.
Avery, Philip, I think it's a very good suggestion as well. I certainly warm to what Tim was saying earlier about timelines as well. If you like, and if council agrees, I'd be happy to do my best as putting up a straw man, if you like, as to a first draft of what I suspect may get board approval, and then council can take pot shots at that and slim down the list as necessary. Mm-hmm. And it may be a fast-track way of doing it. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a proposal for a editor to take it. We've got a volunteer for an editor. We've got the principle that anything objected to is dropped. Would anybody like to further comment? Is anyone is there anyone that doesn't support this proposal?
Well, Amory, this is Greg. I support the proposal. I just had an additional thought that if we can agree on certain things as a council by consensus, then we might suggest to the BGC that they manage this transition in a phased manner, so that they take care of the things that we all agree on first, and give a longer time to implement the things that we can't agree on out of the box.
Okay, there were, I mean, yeah, interesting proposal. There we're actually getting into the substances of some of the issues, and I don't know where I stand personally on the phased approach. I certainly believe in a phased implementation, but I'm not sure that I believe in a phased decision.
Hmm.
Because I personally think that sort of rolling decisions keep everything up in the air. So while the implementation certainly needs to be phased, because one can't do everything all at once, I tend to believe with the governance committee that whatever decisions they're going to make structurally need to be made at the beginning, and then, you know, implementation happens as it happens. So I'm not sure that I would agree with phased decision making.
Could I add something there?
Certainly.
And this is my own personal thoughts. I agree with you, Aubrey, that phasing from a project management point of view is obviously going to be needed. I think we have to be careful that phasing doesn't become a means to delay change and not have any substantial change at all. That would be one of my fears. I think we all recognize, and probably the one point, Philip, that we can all agree on is there's lots of work to do. And so there's no doubt that some things might not happen in a six-month time frame like they say. But my concern would be that we don't deal with that in a way that just becomes a means to delay any meaningful change at all.
Sure.
Any other comments? So do we as a group accept Philip's gracious volunteering to be the editor with a pen that we will all throw pot shots at?
We graciously accept it.
Okay. Okay, and we have a deadline of 30th November, so we probably need to come up with and it means that everybody needs to pay attention for a it goes unless it's objected to proposal to work. We all have to pay a lot of attention to what's going on. And what I would like to ask is that, let's see, what's today? Today is 20th? About 10 days to do this. I would like to ask that for the final 2 days of this, for the final 48 hours, that basically I will ask the group for any objections to sending the document as it currently stands. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Basically, the approach we followed in the committee as a whole is that we freeze the document as of the night of the 27th, and that the next 2 days are basically, do we accept the document as a whole going, or do we not accept it, and that has to be consensus. Is that acceptable to people?
Aubrey, this is Christina. Given that, you know, I think many people, at least in the U.S., have already checked out for Thanksgiving, if we could extend that to maybe midday on the 28th or later in the day on the 28th, I think that would probably be helpful and get a wider group of people.
28th is next Wednesday, so okay. How does that go with your life, Philip? Are you willing to be? Well, I guess you would be done by then, and then it would be either a go or a no-go afternoon
yeah.
on the 28th.
Absolutely, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so noon UTC on the 28th. Is that fair?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So noon UTC on the 28th is freeze document. At that point, if we have, and I will ask for consensus, and if there is an objection to the document as a whole by any council member, it doesn't go. And hopefully we can produce something that does go. And certainly I would encourage everyone, though, individually, to get your comments in, even if they're the same as the comments that are going into this community document. You know, everyone should tell them what they need to tell them. Okay, any more comments on this response? Okay. Next issue is establishment of lists. One list recommendation was for a general GNSO discussion list. And it was considered similar to the ones for NADOG or IETF. Another proposal was IDN discussion list. Greg, you were instrumental in these recommendations. Would you like to speak to it, please?
Yeah, I was talking with people at the LA meeting, and they said, well, it would be nice to have a forum to discuss IDN issues. That these are just people who are interested in IDNs. And I said, well, we should have a list like other organizations do. Now, it's sometimes helpful to narrow the focus of a list, but we could start out with a just general GNSO list. And it's something I was told by Olaf that the staff would be happy to implement if the council, you know, recommended it.
Okay. So, I'll open the list and I'm in the queue in a second. So are you suggesting at this point one list or two lists?
No, let's try one list.
Let's try one list and then, okay. I had sent a couple questions to the list, and I wonder in terms of questions, you answered the first one, that you're recommending that we start a list, that they wouldn't be separate lists at the moment. Would these be completely open lists, or would they be in some way membership, restricted membership, and how would you recommend that they be, and I use controlled, moderated, monitored, et cetera? And I ask you, but I also ask anyone that wants to speak up on it.
I think as ICANN is pretty broad, and the membership should be correspondingly broad. We don't put any restrictions on who can come to an ICANN meeting. So I think
okay.
We have to do that.
The only reason I bring it up is because there had been one suggestion a while back that there be just a list of constituency members. I was never personally comfortable with that as a notion, but I wanted to make sure that we covered that possibility.
So, Avery, Philip here, I just have a question. What would be the difference between a GNSO discussion list open to everybody on all topics and the General Assembly email list?
Anyone want to be in the queue and have a response to that? I don't know the answer.
It sounds like the same, huh?
It does, indeed.
And that may be where the whole question that Avery's asking about how the list would be managed may come into play, but it's a very good observation, Bill.
It's Avery, it's Adrian.
Okay, Adrian.
We've just been through a similar scenario in the registrar constituency and coming up with lists and forums and so on and so forth. And what we had was on an open list, some of the members didn't feel as comfortable posting to that as what they potentially did on a closed list, as we do, for example, have with the GNSO Council list at the moment. So maybe that's something to think about going forward is would we feel as comfortable posting to an open list in discussing topics that potentially haven't been formulated properly. When it's a closed environment, you can somewhat take things back, but when it's opened, it's a bit harder.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? In the queue. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that occurs to me is, as Philip said, a general discussion list isn't that much different than GA unless we impose a regime on it or a membership criteria. An IDN list, on the other hand, a single topic list, would indeed be something different because then we could have the same criteria as the GA in terms of membership, but we could be very closed as to what was on topic or off topic and could prohibit things that were off topic. And that's where the advantage of individual topic lists come in is, I mean, you can't get rid of the duplicative email unless you have a set of netiquette rules, which I think we'd have to have, but you can easily get rid of things that are off topic.
This is Tim.
Yeah, please.
Is there still a queue, or can I go ahead?
There isn't a queue at the moment, so go ahead.
I guess I heard the question about moderating it. I didn't hear an answer. Is that something the council is expected then to moderate, or if it's a single topic list, I mean, it has to be some, as you were saying, some kind of rules, etiquette, whatever, but then there needs to be somebody who's actually applying those rules or moderating the list, right?
That would be my assumption.
This is Norbert. Can I speak?
Certainly. Anyone else want to be in the queue?
Norbert.
Yeah, Norbert I got. Okay. Norbert, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think the proposer, which started this whole discussion, started with an IDN issues discussion list. That I understand as a clear purpose, but to start a completely open general list, I do not yet see the point.
Okay, thanks. Would you see this IDN list, though, as being open to anyone?
Well, I can think there might be people interested in it which, who are not in the current discussion, and this may result in some difficult discussion processes. But I thought Greg made the proposal. Can you maybe say clearly what was the real intention to have this list? And then I think we can make up our mind.
So the original intention was to, just to foster discussion between among people who wanted to discuss IDN. I don't know. You know, on a general list, it's possible to have different threads, and so a general list would accommodate that that desire. I think if a list has to be moderated, if it's in other words, if you need to keep an inappropriate email off the list, then that would probably have to be done by a staff person. That adds another level of complexity to the whole thing.
Mm. It does, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be moderated. It can be monitored. Anyone else wish to comment?
Dumb thing, perhaps.
Okay, John.
And Christine, if I could go in after John, please.
Certainly. Anyone else? Okay.
Just a sort of hesitancy. I'm not quite sure if I understand quite the relation between the GNSO and such a discussion list. If they open it, it must be under some sort of obligations to at least communicate into the council what's on the list, or for the individual council members to keep up with the list or perhaps participate. And I'd like to have perhaps a slight clarification on that.
If I can give a quick clarification, is that within the bylaws, the GNSO is empowered to keep open lists for discussion. At the moment, we've got the GA list, which is the only list that we maintain. And this would be a list. I would certainly expect us to participate in it, but as for obligations and monitoring, that's something that's good to discuss, because I don't know. Christina?
Just following up on a point that John raised and kind of substantiated by what you said. I mean, personally, I have real concerns about my ability to read and participate in another list where, and I think, frankly, if we do create such a list, we have to do so with the recognition that participants will expect counselors to be reading and responding in what they consider to be a timely manner. And, you know, personally, I'm stretched as thin as I get at this point. I can't imagine how I could possibly do that without kind of inadvertently and unintentionally creating a situation where someone doesn't get a response within the time period that they think they should be getting from the person who represents the IPC, and then you have like a whole other set of issues. I just have concerns about it.
Okay. So if I understand, you would think that not only would there need to be someone from the council that was paying attention, but that you believe that there would need to be actually someone from each constituency that would be responsible for monitoring and answering.
I would think that would be, you know, that's not something, a situation I want to see, but I would expect that might be the expectation of people outside of the council that wanted to post to the list. I mean, because after all, why have it then?
Mm.
Any other comments?
Yeah, it's Alan. I have just a quick comment. We certainly don't want to set something up that will then be viewed as yet another soapbox that we don't listen to. You know, there's already a strong feeling that the various comment, you know, input during comment periods is flushed down the toilet. And
Everett?
And I don't think we want this to be another one, so if we're going to do it, we have to do it in such a way that it looks like it's viable.
Okay,
Everett, it's Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
Avery, are we getting a lot of pushback from the wider community that we're not listening, or we're not representing, or we're not providing enough input points that requires this list?
I
I certainly believe, and Greg can respond also, I certainly believe that we're getting some feedback, certainly, that we don't listen to feedback enough, that we don't take enough consideration of that, that we don't have enough open conversations. I don't know that it's major feedback. It's certainly a few loudish voices. Greg, you can probably say more.
The original impression I got was that people just wanted a place to meet, a place where they could discuss a particular topic with like-minded individuals. It wasn't expressed to me that there was an expectation that we would monitor this list and comment any more than the IAB is expected to respond to the IETF list or something like that.
Well, if Adrian, can I respond?
Sure.
Yeah, I was thinking if that's the notion, then that's okay. But to call it a GNSO council list or something like that, going back to some previous comments, which I agree with, you certainly don't want to define it as something that we're going to be paying attention to. But then if you do that, does it deliver on what their expectations are? You know, I think you're stuck between a rock and a hard place once you do it.
I mean, I certainly believe that, and this is not written in a charter anywhere, but that if the GNSO forms a list, that at the very least we need to, you know, monitor it and, you know, if something comes up, bring it up. I certainly believe that, just like I believe it's my sort of responsibility to read the GA list all the time, that if we form a new list, it would be my responsibility to read it. You know, just because if it was under the sponsorship of the GNSO, it wouldn't necessarily be a council list. It could be IDN interest list. And you know, but, yeah, I do think that at least some of us would have to be reading it and monitoring it.
Another approach we could take.
Tim, I'd like to get in the queue again, Ivory.
Okay, Tim.
And me as well, Ivory Prince, Tony.
Yeah, me too, Christina.
And Chuck, you already...
Yeah, sorry, I just jumped in. Another approach we could explore, I don't think we're going to resolve this today, we probably need to move on to other agenda items, but another approach we could explore is a discussion list that focuses on very directed questions that would be helpful to get some interaction on rather than just general topics. So it would be even more narrow than, like, for example, an IDN list, although it could involve an IDN question that we wanted to see some interaction on. And then the questions could change from time to time, and there could be more than one at the same time. But I haven't given this any thought other than right now. So, but that might have some possibility.
Okay, thanks, Tim. But somebody's yawned. Tim, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, thinking about the GA list, you know, and you said you monitor that closely and read everything there. You know, I do as well, but, you know, I'm very cautious and rarely actually contribute to the list for a number of reasons. And I think that what's interesting is that occasionally you see a number of people, you know, throughout the year who will contribute to the GA list, but they do so very rarely, very sparingly, because... you know, that list has kind of gotten a reputation, let's just say. And so, you know, many people are nervous to post to it, are nervous to respond because things get a little bit out of hand at times. So that's my fear, is that we set another list that if we don't monitor it closely, if it isn't managed carefully, that we're going to end up with, you know, another situation where it may start out great, it may have an initial noble cause, but down the road it's going to get out of hand and it's not going to actually serve the purpose it was originally formed for. So far, I mean, the idea sounds like, you know, there might be some value to it, but I don't think it's defined enough and there's not enough information to really make a decision as to whether we would want to do it or not.
Okay, sir.
Thanks, Avery. I came to this with a very open mind, but having listened to the comments, I must admit I have to side with the comments made by both Christina and Tim. And I think a number of people that come to this list, if it's set up, are going to come with a burning desire to get a response on an issue, I don't think that they're going to accept a one-off response back. I think you're going to get into an endless dialogue at times, and resourcing that is going to be an issue. If we don't resource it, then I think we're left with egg on our face. So I tend not to favour this now, whereas I think when we started this conversation, I didn't see any issues with it. I clearly do now.
Okay, thank you, Christina.
Well, I was just thinking that maybe there's another way to accomplish this goal, and something that I'm just thinking of is, for example, do we want to kind of create a forum for people to post questions and maybe set up an hour, I don't know how it would work with the phone, but, maybe we could set up like an hour call once a month to go through some of the questions and make it open for people who feel that the ordinary council mode of operations doesn't really allow for enough interaction. I guess my point is that I have real concerns about the list, but the list may not be the only way to achieve better participation and input and interaction.
Okay, great.
This is Greg. If I could make a comment.
Sure. And then I want to draw a line on it.
I don't think it was ever the intention of the people who proposed this list that they would ask us questions and we would respond, that we would be necessarily involved in a dialogue at all. So maybe this doesn't need, if this were implemented, it shouldn't be a GNSO. It shouldn't have the GNSO attached to it in the sense that the council or at least the council name attached to it, so that there's an expectation that the council will be involved. Now, maybe it should just be the GA. Maybe we just point people to the GA list, or establish an ICANN list or an IDN ICANN list or something like that doesn't have our name on it.
Avery, could I just add a comment to that?
Okay, sure.
Final comment. I think if you go down that path, it clearly points back to the GA list, and that already exists. Building on what Christina said, though, I don't know whether I'd support the idea of asking questions and having an hour a month dedicated to that. But what I would suggest is that there should be a method of allowing people to post questions prior to an ICANN meeting when we stand the chance of addressing them within the forums that we run. That might be an idea, and that might alleviate any tension that's there as well.
Okay,
Avery, it's Adrian. I know you said you're going to draw a line through. Can I make one quick comment?
Sure.
Sorry, Avery. Just quickly, I'd just like to make a comment about our ICANN meetings. And I think, Avery, you conceded that due to restrictions and things, we didn't do as well as what we could have last time by way of opening up public comment. And I'd certainly like to put focus back on that and the work that Kira McCarthy's doing and as the suggestion's just been done, then we could certainly be open for a lot more input for our meetings than what we are at the moment. And Avery, I know that's something you're working towards.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, okay, in drawing that line now, a couple things came up. One, I think that we don't have a well-formed suggestion on this list yet, but we had some really good suggestions, so I'd like to suggest that we talk about it on our list and see if we can come up with a well-formed suggestion that we can buy into. And two, I will add as an agenda item in one of our next meetings the whole interaction with the community and response issues, because that one started coming out here, and I think that needs a lot more development, but I'll add it as a separate discussion in one of our future meetings. Okay, we have a couple more items and very little time left. Now, there was the letter on behalf of Hagen Holsch. I did a version of it. There were a couple comments. I did a version. Chuck has done an edit on my version. And I guess Alan, during this meeting, sent out some comments on that version, which I have not looked at. What
I sent it about 5 hours ago. The plug came out of the network about half an hour ago.
Okay, so sorry. I just saw them during this meeting.
So you'll see at least two copies of it.
And didn't get a chance to read them, just saw them, because it's hard to read and talk at the same time. So I don't know whether we want to discuss that here in this meeting or whether we just want to keep it on the list
And now, his request was to send it, I think, by the end of the month. I believe that I could ask for an extension until our next meeting, and in our next meeting, we can you can put it back on the agenda. Is there any objection to my asking for a week extension for this NOMCOM letter?
Robbie, this is Patrick Jones, if I could get in the queue.
Patrick, yes. Can you tell me, can I have an extension?
Yes. I think to the end of the month is probably fine, but I don't think that this is something that the committee can wait on
okay.
too far into December.
Okay,
I'll take it up with the Hagen. The next is December when?
8th, or 6th.
Let me pass this on to Hagen.
Okay. Because, I mean, we've got it. I think we're developing the ideas, but I'd like to give everyone a chance to read and think about it some more before, and I'd like to not send this as a default thing, but I'd like to have the council have had time to read it and then to have, you know, taken a vote that, yes, this is what we want to send forward. And so I would put that on December 6th.
Aubrey, if we go that route and we get the extension, we should recognize that we probably need to make really good progress between now and that meeting, because if we don't and have to finalize it in that meeting, it could take quite a bit of time.
Yeah. Understood.
And if it's going to go much past December 6th, then it doesn't become very useful for they'll have to now in
well,
in a
I mean, and the drafts, of course, are all there in our public space, but I would like to get something so that information and the discussion is certainly there for to be read by anyone. But I'd like to sort of bring it together, and so if December 6th works, I think we can aim for that. If not, we can certainly try to have a cleaned up copy by November 30th on our list that we then discuss and take a vote on the 6th. Does that seem a reasonable approach?
If that's probably reasonable. I think the ideal is the sooner the better that something could come.
Okay. The pending work item review. I've put together one just yesterday and had a meeting with some of the policy staff and Chuck and Glenn, and people can see it. It wasn't sent out to everyone, but it is on the website. And I'll just go through it quickly at this point, and we'll be spending more time on it. But it has... and first item on it was the reserve name recommendation for existing PLBs. That's still in the works. I had had a status due date of today, but Patrick got back to me and said, you know, more time was needed on that, so I'll just, you know, move a status comment out to next meeting or the meeting after. The response to board resolutions on IDN CC PLBs, we talked about it today. I have it noted as a 6 December vote, but with what we've done today and putting together this working group, I think we'll probably need to move that out a bit, and I'll propose, or I guess I'll ask Chuck to propose a schedule for how we should proceed on that. Register transfer policy review, that's the working group is ongoing, and I'll ask for status on that for next week's meeting.
And we now have another one in that regard, and that's the PDP.
Yeah, yeah. I will add that. Motion on proxy voting. We still need to discuss the next steps. There's definitely interest in going on with that. Someone needs to put together a motion of what we'd like to propose to the board in terms of changing the bylaws. If we're ready to propose that before the full, or even with the board governance thing. So if we're going to do that, someone needs to propose a motion. We have the motion on term limits. Again, if someone would like to, actually,
We already acted on that.
Yeah, we already acted on that. We're still waiting for the board to come back on that one. We had the IRT issue report, which was on this meeting, vote for a PDP. We did that, so I will update this with the list of deadlines for constituency reports, et cetera. The domain tasting PDP, per the schedule, as of 10 November, the representatives were to have been appointed by 5th December. The constituency reports were to be submitted, are to be submitted. And the initial report is 25th December. Obviously, those dates need to be adjusted for holidays. The NOMCOM job description is on our list. The draft is in process, and we will do a final draft on 30 November with a vote on 6 December. Who is studies? We didn't get to today. I'll put that on the agenda for next week. But basically, we need to create a team to create a study suggestion form, as we discussed. We then need to release this form so the people that do want to study specific things can write them up. We need to have a deadline for that. I just suggested a deadline. A request for the rough cost estimates and rough cost estimates by 15 February. In the vote that we took on at the end of the, in LA, we had decided on a 15 February date for the rough cost estimate. In order for that to be possible, we need to get moving very soon. So I'd like to ask at this point, I'll put a message out on the list, that if there are a few people that would like to work with Liz and myself, I'll participate in this one, in terms of putting together a form that people could then fill out to basically give the details of what they'd like to see in a study, and then we'll bring that form to this meeting, to the next meeting, for people to talk about. And actually, we don't really need to have the form, I think, until the end of December, but we'll start talking about it in the next meeting. The IGO DRP, we basically had the postponement vote today, so I will insert that in the schedule. Then other thing we have on the list is chair, vice chair elections, which Glenn will talk about briefly in any other business. I've gone through that. I'll start going through this calendar. I think anyone that, you know, people should take a look at it and certainly send me and or the list concerns with the dates and the discussion. I've also started building, as I did last time, the high-level agenda with what will be talked about in each of our meetings between now and New Delhi. It's still got a lot of blank spots. It still needs work, but I will work on that with all of you. Any questions or issues on that at the moment?
Avery, it's Adrian.
Yeah.
Just quickly, can I just stress to everybody to, if you go to make comments, I know it's easy going up to a meeting to quickly bounce around a few emails, but as this was an early morning call for me, to get into the my Outlook and to see that there was, you know, 10 to 15 emails there regarding items that we would be discussing, it makes it very hard to participate in the early part. If all I'm doing is reading. As you said before, it's hard to talk and read at the same time. So, yeah, it would be a benefit if, I know it's hard, but if councillors could attempt to try to get any issues that are going to be discussed on the call, at least down in an email, at some stage before the call.
Okay, yeah, certainly. I think that's a good idea. I mean, certainly I'll continue, you know, getting the agenda out a week beforehand. So I think it's good if people discuss issues as soon as possible. And I know I'm as guilty as everyone on last-minute stuff.
Aubrey?
Yeah?
It's Christina. I apologize if you're going to cover this, but I know that we'll be adjusting the times of the meetings.
Yeah.
To the extent that we can, you can send out information as to what the times will be for the two meetings in December, that would be very helpful.
Okay. And part of any other business is Glenn has a suggestion for the next meeting. And, yeah, I'll ask to get the at least two meetings ahead in terms of our time plan.
Thank you.
Okay, if not, okay, I'll move on to any other business, and I think Glenn
Both items are yours at the moment. One, briefly talk about the election schedule, and one, talk about the time of the next meeting.
Thank you, Avery. I'll be very brief about the election schedule. The terms of the GNSR chair and vice chair run concurrently, and they expire on the 31st of January. And in order to get both those positions filled before the 31st of January, I have sent out a proposed timetable which follows the process that we have been using up to now. That is a two-week period for nomination and at least 2 weeks for a vote for the chair. I've also consulted with Dan Halloran about the times, and this is the proposal that the call for nominations for the council chair, GNSR council chair, start on Thursday the 22nd of November and run to the 6th of December, that is the same day as our council meeting. Then the voting period would start on Thursday the 13th of December and run to Monday the 7th of January because of the holiday season in between, and to make sure that the appropriate staff is available during that period too. Then the results would be announced on Wednesday the 9th of January, and the vote could be confirmed at the council meeting on the 17th of January. Then the vice chair, the call for nominations could start on the 9th of January and run through to the 23rd of January. Now, the bylaws make provision for a vote that can be taken during a council meeting, and it was suggested that the vote for the vice chair be taken by a roll call vote at the council meeting on the 31st of January if there are no objections from any councillors.
Anyone want to comment on that? Okay, I think then if there are no objections, we can just follow that recommendation.
It is a process that has been followed in the past, so we're not going away from that. The second quick comment is that having worked out the times and having consulted with certain councillors, would you all be happy with the next call, that is on the 6th of December, being at 15 hours UTC? I will quickly... that gives us...
I think it's 10 a.m. Eastern, and that's fine with me.
Yeah. How is that for all the...
And it's 7 a.m. in L.A. And during that meeting, Adrian has informed me that he will be in Dubai, so his pain will be much less.
But we do have other folks. Where is it?
And we have Cyril and Edmund, who have also told me that they might be willing to put up with that pain.
Okay, and then we'll rotate it.
And then we'll rotate it for the next one.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Norbert. The 15 UCT is okay, but with the understanding that they will try to rotate, just to let you know, it is now 6 o'clock in the morning here.
Yes.
Now we should all take a turn to have the joy of watching.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
To have to go to 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So any issues on that one? And so if we can get it so that we all have a chance to see the sunrise, I think that would be best. Okay. Anything else before I close this meeting?
1500 is...
That's
9 a.m. Eastern, is it? So it would...
15 UTC would be minus, I don't know.
I think it's 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific.
And
sorry,
7 a.m. Pacific.
It's 10 a.m. Eastern.
And it's 10 a.m. Eastern.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, for me, Brazil is perfect, too.
Excuse me?
So, no, just tell them that for me, in Brazil, you're perfect, too.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
So no problem at all.
It's just Cyril and Edmund that... Right, they're the ones with the pain.
They're a big brunt
this
yes.
week and this time and next time. And so we'll have to rotate off that someone else gets it next the following time. I thank everybody for the participation today, and talk to you all in 2 weeks. And
thank you, Aubrey.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.